Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran in the Morning Show with Brian Wacker from Golf Digest at BrianWacker1. You can reach the podcast anytime on Instagram at Playing Through Podcast. So, big TV show on tonight. Golf Channel's been talking about it. You've seen all kinds of teasers for it on social media. It is about how Tiger Woods left Nike because they were no longer making golf clubs and moved over to TaylorMade. But when he made the move, I mean, Wacker, you had to believe every single golf company in America wanted Tiger Woods to try out their stuff, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can look at Rory McIlroy, for example, and another TaylorMade player. When he joined the staff and sort of was in that same position the Tiger found himself in, moving from one club company to another, he said, you know, literally had stuff being sent to from every company you'd imagine being sent to his house in Florida. I think even his parents may have been getting stuff. His dad might have been getting stuff. I mean, and of course, Tiger Woods, you know, the greatest player of all time. When he becomes a quote-unquote free agent in that arena, I would suspect that everybody would make their pitch. And, of course, TaylorMade is the one who landed him. And we've got a special guest with us today to kind of take us inside not just that show, of course, that you mentioned that'll be on Golf Channel tonight, but the process of Tiger and how he came to be join TaylorMade, and as well as some of the specifics of the club building, specifically his irons.
Yes, we've got Paul Dymkowski. Paul, now you were there from go in building the irons with Tiger Woods. So what's that like from the day he becomes a free agent back in April of 2016 to he signs with TaylorMade? What's that process like?
Well, first of all, we never thought that Tiger would be available to play any product but Nike. So when that opportunity arose, I mean, we were so excited to just, you know, put our hat in the ring there and hopefully have an opportunity. As the process went, we were sending him equipment and getting feedback. Keisa Barbro, our VP of Tour Operations, was, you know, instrument in that, getting all the product to him, getting the feedback. And then as Tiger gained more confidence into what Tiger made, what TaylorMade can provide, and as he got more comfortable with the people at TaylorMade, like Keith and myself and Brian Basil and the people that work with him, that's when we started to kind of say, okay, well, what do we need to get a set of irons in play here, because he's obviously very specific for all of his needs and specifications. So that was kind of the background of how it began. And then from there, we were tasked with how to make these irons. And we worked closely with Mike Taylor, who has been making Tiger's equipment for the past 15 plus years. So he was a big consultant on the whole project. And it started off with myself, Brian Basil, and Tomo Bystep, I believe you have had on the show before, flying down to Fort Worth to visit Mike Taylor. And it was basically just information gathering. Mike has just binders and binders, 3-4 inches thick, of specifications on irons and wedges that he's done for Tiger over the past 15 years, down to this incredible, incredible detail. So that was the kind of early stages and first steps of developing the irons and wedges for Tiger.
You know, Tiger in 2018 changed nearly all of his equipment, but yet the irons are they're almost identical to the muscle back ones that he's used his entire career. You mentioned Mike's involvement, Mike Taylor, and of course, Keith Barbro and a host of others. I guess I'm curious as to why the irons would be, you know, there wouldn't be such significant changes there. We've seen changes with the driver, both in terms of him going to an adjustable club head to different shafts and so forth. But why would the irons be nearly identical? And what are the differences in those irons compared to some of the earlier ones that he played in his career?
So with the irons, Tiger wants them to go a very specific distance, and he has a very specific launch window that he wants to see visually when he looks up. So his launch angle, his peak height, his spin, and his carry distance, all those things are pretty much set in stone for every iron. He doesn't want to see anything different. So when we were developing initial prototypes, ours were actually going further. They were launching a little bit higher and spinning a little bit less. So he was gaining about 5 yards of carry on each iron, but that's not what he wanted. He wanted basically to have the same exact level of performance that he's had historically. So it's really hard to make an iron that performs better when that's exactly what he's looking for. We can make an iron more forgiving, but when you have an iron that's more forgiving, it means the MOI is higher, which makes it harder for workability. So that's not what he was looking for either. So essentially, he wanted an iron that was going to have the same launch, that same peak height, same carry distance, same level of forgiveness, so that he could have confidence that he could execute every shot that he has over the past 25 years here, without having any unexpected flyers or shots that didn't have enough spin or that went too far. I remember one of the first test sessions that I took part with at the Kingdom with Tiger. Well, I had several prototypes, and there were six irons were the first ones we started with. And his six iron loft is about 32.5 degrees, and which is pretty weak. He plays very weak lofts. He loves spin. And his gamers, he was launching at about 12.5 degrees with what I remember about 6,600 RPMs of spin. And they were carrying high 180s and yardage. And ours, he was launching 2 degrees higher and spinning 300 RPMs less. And they were carrying 5 yards further. And the peak height was just noticeably higher, like just visually when you're watching these balls. So we knew that, you know, we weren't quite there. We were a long ways off. Now, when you talk about a simple blade like Tiger plays, there's not many variables to play with like you have in other irons with face thickness and COR and, you know, things of that nature. It's primarily center gravity location, sole geometry, and score line. So those are really the only three things that you can manipulate to affect his launch, his spin, and his carry distance. So at least from that context, we were very honed in on what we had to work on to yield what he wanted. And one of the biggest eye-opening things was the actual material of the irons we used. We historically, for our tour players, we've machined, you know, numerous tour sets over the years, have used 303 stainless steel. And that's primarily because it's a slightly harder metal, so the groove geometry lasts longer over time. It's a little bit more durable material. But in the sense of feel, it's usually pretty comparable to this, the carbon steel. You can't really feel much difference than actually the sense of hitting a golf ball. So that's where we started with Tiger, was the stainless steel. And I remember that first test session, after he had hit for a while, we were all kind of sitting down and relaxing. And he asked me, he said, "Do you think it could be the metal?" And my initial response was, "I don't think so, because it's a very thick, rigid structure, not like a thin-faced high COR iron where you have flexibility and things of that nature, where the metal would make a difference in that respect." So I said, "I don't think it could be," but I said, "You know, we'll certainly, you know, machine some prototypes in that material and see." And sure enough, you know, I did one in that, and the launch came down a little bit, the spin went up a little bit. He had a slightly better sense of feel. We knew that that was one of the variables that we weren't initially anticipating. So that was kind of the initial stage of the prototyping with him. We probably did, gosh, I want to say 6 to 7 different prototypes over the first several months, all with real subtle tweaks to the center gravity location, to the overall kind of back geometry, you know, subtle tweaks to the sole. So that was the initial stages there. And then once we got past that, we discovered with Mike Taylor that Tiger has been using tungsten in his irons, just a little 8-9 gram slug that's buried kind of low and maybe a slightly toward in the back of the muscle area. And that just kind of allows you to really just fine tune that CG position. And once we implemented that in the iron, we were basically there satisfying all the needs that he wanted in the irons.
Now, through this process, you guys are obviously, you bring a wealth of experience. You've done this, you know, thousands of times at this point. But we're still talking about Tiger Woods here. So how much nervousness is there that in what you're doing and trying to get this exactly right for effectively the greatest player to ever play the game?
Yeah, there was definitely a point, you know, I mean, it took, you know, over a year to really completely dial everything in. And I'd say probably after our first several test sessions when we just weren't getting the performance that he wanted, you know, I myself was getting pretty nervous saying, geez, like, you know, we feel like we're there. The geometry is so close to his previous irons. The CGs are so close, so on and so forth. But, you know, if there's any intangibles in the mix there that we couldn't really put our finger on, and it was definitely a little nerve-wracking at that point because, you know, you got a big spotlight on you working with somebody like Tiger Woods, and, you know, he's really excited to get the irons in play, and you don't want to keep on, you know, sending him product that isn't performing the way he wants. So there was definitely a level of nervousness in that regard there.
So when you fit Tiger, and I'm sure you've been around the fittings with whether it's Dustin or Rory or Jason Day or Rom or any of the many very talented other players in the stable there, TaylorMade. What is the difference in fitting, say, Tiger versus fitting the other guys? Is it more difficult, and not just difficult, but do you learn more when you fit Tiger, or is he more technical than some of the other guys?
He's the most technical that I've ever worked with. His golf IQ is just through the roofs, and it's interesting. He's definitely the toughest to fit, but it's also you know what you have to do to get him fit. He's very clear in what he wants, and it's just up to us to satisfy that need and give him the equipment needed to satisfy what he wants. The other guys are, you know, slightly different. I've worked on irons for DJ, for Rose, for Rory, for Day, and those were a walk in the park compared to the irons for Tiger. Those guys, you know, if it's off by a little bit on launch or spin, they'll just change a couple little things to make it work. Where Tiger, he's not going to compromise at all. You know, he wants exactly what he wants, like I said, and we have to give it to him. So it's definitely, it elevated our game, and it made us have to be better to be able to satisfy that need.
So there's no swing change. Tiger won't change a swing he makes or do something different. He wants the club to fit what he does.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. So what's something that tonight on the show that as a fan, like I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, what's something tonight on the show that we'll learn that we probably didn't know before tonight's show about Tiger?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the, you know, anecdotal stories about, you know, how he could tell the difference of, you know, a half a degree of lie or loft or,
yeah, is that true?
Thousandths face thickness. 100% true. Absolutely true. And that's the biggest eye-opening thing that I think, you know, we experienced, I myself experienced. And there was a couple of times that, you know, I'm doing prototypes and, you know, I needed to get the CG a little higher on the head of the club. And I'm like, you know what, it's going to be a lot easier if I just add a couple thousandths to the top line thickness here to get that, even though I know his spec is something slightly different. And I'm like, yeah, I'll see if he notices. Sure enough, yeah, you know, this top line just looks a little thicker. You know, he just, it's just amazing, the sensitivity to every little detail. I've never seen anything like it. Not only to the geometry, but just, you know, visually the geometry, but also the feel of the golf club. Not only the feel of the ball and the face, but the feel of the club entering and exiting the turf. There's this kind of cool thing that's really fun to watch is when he's putting a club through, you know, the tests on a range, is he kind of has like these nine windows that he hits it through, where he'll hit his, you know, stock one, you know, right through the middle, then he'll hit, you know, high ones through the top middle, then he'll hit high cuts, high draws, you know, kind of medium cuts, medium draws, then low stingers that are straight, low stingers that are, you know, draws and then cuts. And to watch him kind of just do all that is just absolutely impressive. And it just really makes you appreciate, you know, his skill and understanding how acute he is with all those senses. But yeah, that's one of the biggest things that was eye-opening to us, was just his level of detail on those things. And I think that's the value that I think we bring as TaylorMade and these new irons compared to the past was, before, you know, they were kind of handcrafted one-of-a-kind irons. You know, they would start with forging blanks and have to weld a lot of material on and grind and just do so much work to get it right. Where now with us and our process and our machined process and our milled grind soles, now that we have it right, we're able to duplicate that every single time without any concern of it being different. And I think that's the biggest value that TaylorMade brings, and that's the value that Tiger's seen in these irons and also in the wedges. He's, you know, switches wedges almost every other event. And when you get sole geometry that's so curvaceous and organic, it's just very difficult to reproduce, you know, with a hand grinding process. Mike Taylor's one of the best in the world. You know, and Tiger had told me once that Mike would send him 10 wedges at a time, but only 3 or 4 might be right. It's just that mill grind process allows us to capture that really, you know, unique geometry every time, just like we do on the iron. So I think that's the value we bring, so that Tiger doesn't have to relearn a new set when he gets it. Because when he would get a new backup set, he changes sets twice a year. He'd kind of have to relearn the nuances a tiny bit, believe it or not, just because of those subtleties and those differences in the sole geometry, and if there's any subtle changes in the CG. But now with our process, it's going to play just like the last set he wore out.
Paul, you said something before about feel that kind of intrigues me from the standpoint of Tiger is a guy who's been out here over 20 years now, and along that time there's been certainly a lot of changes technologically and a lot of data as well as come along with that. And we've all often heard Tiger say, you know, he still trusts his hands. He's a feel player. You know, that's where he sort of lives in that space when it comes to clubs and whether they work or not. But there is all this immense amount of data available now. So I'm curious how that relationship works with TaylorMade and the data set that you guys put together with Tiger, and who, you know, again, who's often considered himself like a field player, or, you know, certainly, as you mentioned, one of the smarter guys and more knowledgeable guys when it comes to information on his clubs and so forth. But he's not a guy that typically gets bogged down in all the data. So how does the balance sort of work for Tiger with the balance of the data and, of course, the balance of what he feels in his hand?
Yeah, exactly. So it's, when we were developing the irons and testing prototypes with them, we would, if we weren't there with him personally, if Keith wasn't there, or if I wasn't at a tour event, or if he was in the kingdom, we would send the clubs to his house and he would test them on his own. And he wouldn't really use a TrackMan. He would just hit it and just visually know, just through that launch window, kind of through the distance, which, you know, we trust in obviously his feedback and what he sees. But, you know, me being an engineer and developing an iron, I need that data to really be able to fine-tune those subtleties of the things that we're looking at and the design of the iron to yield exactly what he wants. So there was a lot of times we kind of had to push him to say, hey, just get some numbers for us just so we can kind of see where we are compared to what your gamers are. So that was always kind of a little bit of a back and forth. And I think that was this initial gate he would pass with testing, was no track man, no numbers, just hit it. And he could trust what he sees, what he feels. If it passed that gate, then it would say, okay, now let's get some numbers on it. So that's kind of the process that took place.
Wow. Tonight, 9:00 on Golf Channel. It's called the Tiger Woods Project. You can learn everything you've ever, you know, it's funny, after he won the Masters, we're getting so much more information now, and Tiger seems to be much more forthcoming with information than previously we had seen. You know, before we didn't really get a lot out of Tiger back in the day, and now we're getting so much more, learning how he gets his clubs fit and how he wants to do things and how he is on the golf course. And we really have seen a completely different side, kind of a behind the scenes look we've never gotten a chance to see before. Paul, appreciate your time. This is really fascinating. It really is fascinating. Tonight, 9:00, the Tiger Woods Project. Paul, we're going to see you on the show as well, right?
Yep, should be a good one. Looking forward to it.
Good deal. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Guys. Appreciate it.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
No? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy and Wacker.
Bitch.